Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. It is I, it is me, Sugarlicious. How's everybody today? It is Mother's Day. Yes, Mother's Day. The day where mothers are celebrated all over the world, at least in the U.S. I'm sure other places as well, because I think that Mother's Day is a universal holiday, although we don't get off like we would if it was 4th of July or Christmas or New Year's, but still it is a day to remember. So with that being said, happy Mother's Day to all of my listeners who are mothers and those who are not as well, might be mother in second life and not a mother in real life, but hey, if you're mothering, you're mothering. So how is everyone today at 3:02 p.m., that is specific time, SL time, 6 o'clock p.m. if you were on the East Coast, and if you were in the city of Texas or Midwest, it is 502. Anyway, this show is basically a tribute to my grandmother and my mother who both raised me and who both are no longer here among us, but trust when I tell you their memories are here and alive and well. I come from a Southern background. My mother was born in Alabama, and my grandmother was also born in Alabama. My grandmother, Janie, was Black and Chippewa, Native American. She, her mother actually lived on a reservation where she met my great-great-grandfather and got married and had all these children, and he ended up leaving her. But anyway, that's a whole different story. But my grandmother was a my great-grandmother was a very, very strong woman. I remember her name was Ida, and I remember her always, you know, talking about, you know, when she was on the reservation and how things were and how she met my, you know, my grandfather and my great-great-grandfather, rather, and how he changed her life and her view of people of color, meaning people, you know, Black. But I was really, really blessed to have some amazing women raise me. My mother was, in her younger years, she was a singer, and she was really, really, into singing. She had a beautiful voice, and I'm not just saying that because I'm her daughter. She really had a beautiful voice, and it was strong. And she could sing and blow you away without even having a mic. Her voice was just that strong and just that, you know, talented. And she just could, you know, wow, just, you know, she would wow people. But she wanted to be a singer, and many, 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 many years before I was born, she would sing behind the greats like Ray Charles and I believe Sam Cooke and Aretha. You know, she wasn't a known name at all. Not known, just a face in the crowd. If they, you know, came to the city where she was and needed, you know, needed singers, she was basically just whisked away. But she really had, you know, a dream of becoming a singer. She really, really had that dream and wanted that dream, and it was like something that was instilled in her, and she wanted it. And unfortunately, things did not happen that way for her. She ended up meeting my father, actually, who is also a Native American. He is from the Seminole tribe, and got to talking, and he was just mesmerized by her. My mother was really, really dark-skinned. Look at me, it's kind of hard to believe that, but she's really dark, like a real, real pretty chocolate. And I remember him telling me that when he saw her, he was like in awe of her. She was just the most beautiful thing he ever saw in his life, and he had to have her. So they met, fell in love. You know, my father, who had just basically came off the reservation, met this I don't want to say worldly woman, but he was fresh off the reservation, and she was a little bit more in tune to what was going on in the world, you know, be the fact that she was a singer, traveling and everything. But being that she was such a beautiful woman, she had a lot of men that were attracted to her. And he didn't like that, but my father was a big drinker and very abusive. Now, this is something that I heard, you know, it happened long before I was born, but he was a heavy, heavy drinker, extremely abusive to her, and she ended up, you know, years later leaving him because of, you know, his drinking and his abuse or whatever. And the product of that was me and my sister Ida, and Ida's a lot older than I am, and she basically kind of saw everything that happened, where I was not, didn't enter my life, because by the time I was born, they were, you know, she had left him while she was pregnant and, you know, whatever. But her dreams of being another Aretha Franklin basically blew up in smoke when Ida was born. And I remember her saying she never regretted having my sister, but it made things different for her to have her. And it was just, it was sad in a way, because here's this woman who really wanted that. So by the time I was born, she wanted to branch out again. So she packed my little things up and shipped me to my grandmother, Janie. And when she, you know, I was born actually in Mississippi, so she packed up, had me in Mississippi, left me with my grandmother, and my grandmother told her, you know, whenever you're ready to come back and get her, you can have her. Well, she waited 2 years, and by the time she waited those 2 years, my grandmother fell in love with me. And when my mother came back to retrieve her child, my grandmother just bluntly told her, you know, well, if you take her, you have to pay me every day I took care of her, which I don't know. This is what my mother told me. My grandmother never really discussed it, but needless to say, these were, you know, pretty strong women. My mother didn't fight for me, and most of my childhood, when I became, you know, knowledgeable of this, I kind of looked towards my mom and didn't like her, because I felt that, you know, if you were my mom, you should have fought for me. And, you know, once I remember telling her this, when I think I was like 15 or whatever, and she stated that the reason why she didn't want to lose her parents' love, my grandmother and my grandfather's love, so she didn't fight to keep me. And that hurt. It hurt a lot, but I had to understand her view of it and what she was going through and how she must have felt, you know, to come home, you know, come back, retrieve your child, and then being told by your parents that, you know, you're going to have to pay me for every day that we took care of her, knowing that you know, they couldn't. Her godmother, who couldn't have children, had a lot of foster kids. And I remember my grandmother telling me that one biggest fear she had, because my mother then lived in Los Angeles, and so did my mother's godmother, and my grandmother saying the one big fear she had was that my mother would take me to California and would, you know, end up, my mother's godmother would end up raising me. So what my mom did was she packed me up one night and stole me. I know that sounds weird, Mom, your mother's telling you, but she packed up one night, got on the bus, and took me to California. Well, my grandmother got on the bus, too, and went to California to retrieve me. And it was a back-and-forth thing. It was just craziness, to say the least. But the reason why I'm saying all this is because to tell you how determined these two women were and how strong-willed, you know, they both were. My grandmother was a, you know, a Southern woman with values that she impressed on me, you know, loving yourself, you know, loving everybody around you, making sure that you know what your spiritual side is. And because of her, I know I'm the person that I am. Because of her, I know that I have that love and that drive and acceptance of everyone. Because even though she was a Southern woman, she still looked at everybody as equal. And this is talking about a woman that grew up when there were drinking fountains and bathrooms and restaurants that said colored on it. And this is a woman that grew up in that, you know, in that era. And the beauty of her is I remember I had a cousin who was in Alabama, and my grandma was living in Theodore at the time, and my cousin fell for this guy who was a white guy, and her ex-husband was extremely abusive to her, beating her. She had a little girl, but he was extremely abusive, and she started working at this fish factory with shrimp. She was a secretary there. And the boss's son owned it, and they fell in love with each other. And everybody was so against it. You know, they were talking about lynching her. His parents were talking about lynching her, you know, because she was black. And her parents was talking about disowning her because he was white. So it was back and forth. And I remember her coming to my grandmother when I stayed up with my grandmother one summer, and she sat there with my grandmother and asked my grandmother for advice. And my grandmother said something that to this day I still remember it. She said, "Do you love him?" And my cousin said, "Yes." And she said, "Do you love him enough to leave everything behind?" And my cousin sat there for a second, and she's like, "Yes." She says, "Then what I suggest you do is pack your things, pack your daughter's things, and go with him," because he wanted to leave the state of Alabama because her life was threatened, and they weren't kidding. It wasn't a idle threat. They were dead ass serious. They were going to do something to her. So basically what happened is my grandmother told her that if she loved him, to leave, and she did just that. She packed her things, packed her daughter's things, and they left, and to this day, they are still together. They're still very much together with several other children. He treats my little cousin, well, she's not little any longer, like she's one of his own. And it just, the reason why I think it amazed me is because my grandmother, being from that era, you would have thought she had a different view of how it should have went, but she was so like, if you love him, be with him. And I remember her telling me and Ida both that, you know, love has no color. You can't determine who you fall in love with. you know, my grandmother was real light skin, and she had this thing for dark men. She loved dark-skinned men. She just, you know, the darker, you ever heard that term, the darker the berry, the sweeter the juice? Well, that was my grandmother. She loved her some dark-skinned men. And I remember one time she was saying that, you know, love has no color, that, you know, if you love someone, it doesn't matter, you know, what the color of their skin is. You know, love is love. And I have since taken that direction of that of her, the fact that, you know, she was such a good person. Everybody knew her. Everybody loved her. You know, she was the type of person that would get up in the middle of the night if you needed food or needed anything. And, you know, she was just a wonderful person. And everybody says, oh, so is my grandmother. But, you know, I honestly, my grandmother was a saint. And I mean that, because some of the things that she used to do would anger me, that she would allow people to just basically walk over her, and it would anger me. But then I had to realize that this is who she was, and this is the person that made her loved by everybody, even though a lot of people were using her, and she knew it. Trust me, my grandmother was no fool. But to her, what she would always say is that, you know, it may not come back to me, but it'll come back to one of you kids. And I do know that a lot of things that my grandmother did while we were growing up that I would turn my nose up at or roll my eyes, a lot of my blessings now came from what that woman did, and I know it. There's no doubt in my mind. I miss her daily. She is a constant fixture in my life when I do something for other people, or, you know, when I started doing the love myself, I really had her in mind for that, because I knew that that's something that if she could so do, she would have done it. You know, she was just an amazing, amazing woman. My mother, I think my ways of my mother's the person that I am that's always trying to do stuff. That was my mom. She was always doing stuff, always, you know, some new project or some new venture. You know, that's how she was. And I know a lot of my strength and a lot of my, you know, F you comes from her. Like that, when I finally have had enough and I've got that attitude, like, you know, kiss my ass, that's my mom. Because I remember once when my cousin was telling me that they were all in a bar. And my cousin, my mom was only, goodness, 5 feet two. I'm 5'1". She was 5 feet two, maybe 110 pounds. My mom was a very small woman, very, very, very petite. You know, I got my ass, my boobs, my thighs from my grandmother. My mom was real, real petite. And I remember once I heard the story, it was so funny, that when they were playing baseball, they used to pick on her because in those, you know, she was dark skinned and her hair wasn't really that long, and they used to pick on her. And even though she was a good batter, they never wanted her to bat up. So I remember when she was getting ready, I was told when she was going to bat, and one of the girls was like, oh, you know, we're not going to get Alberta to bat. That was my mom's name. Alberta's a bat, and they just kept going on and on how they were going to get her to bat. So the other kids wanted her to bat, but this girl was a bully, so they were scared to say something. And my mom says, no, I'm batting. And the girl basically grabbed her. And I remember my grandma saying the girl had these huge boobs. You know, she was like 15 and like just a huge girl. And she was literally smothering my mom in her boobs because she was like about 5'9". And she picked up my mom and grabbed her and was holding my mom like a bear hug. And my mom was saying that she was not breathing. She was suffocating, you know, because she was basically, you know, put in a booth where she couldn't breathe, mouth all. My mom says she opened her mouth and she just bared down on her boob, bit the shit out of her, to the point the chick just basically, you know, let her go. And my mom took the bat and started beating the shit out the girl with the bat to the point of her breaking it. And after that, they never messed with my mom after that. My mom was crazy. She was really crazy. I know another story that I was told when they went to the bar. This is the bar story. They went to the bar, and my cousin, who basically kind of grew up as my sister, that's another story, but we'll tell you that later, she's real light-skinned. She's real, and grandma, my mom is dark. So they used to always say they were sisters. So one guy was liking my mom, and he was trying to talk to my mom, and my mom basically ignored him and then went to my cousin. And then my cousin said, how are you going to talk to my, you know, my sister and then try to come to me? And he was said something like, how the hell are you, you know, your sisters when, you know, when she's dark and you're light-skinned and that's lying, whatever. So he just kept trying to go back and forth. So when my cousin got ready to, you know, she said, screw it, let's go, he grabbed her and pulled her. And before the guy knew it, my mom had a knife at his throat and told him, if you move, I will fucking gut you. My mom was, and the thing is that my mom was not playing. And the funny part about this, this is how crazy both of them was. My cousin reached into her bra and took out this little 22, what I call pea shooter, and put it to the guy's head and told the guy, if she don't gut you, I'll blow your brains out. And the guy was like shaking and literally pissing his pants. This is how this is how crazy my mom and my cousins were. But I mean, it just amazes me how when I see myself as an adult, I see so much of my mom and me and my grandmother, and it makes me thank God. You know, I was actually very, very blessed. I had two strong women in my life that I took from. You know, I may have not taken the total best from both, but, you know, the fact of my grandmother having me be such a strong fixture and, you know, loving myself and so forth, and my mom being like this woman that just didn't take any mess from anybody, no matter who they were, you know, I got both of that, you know, that from both of them. And it really has been just a life that I miss them so much, because I realize, you know, the things that I've accomplished, you know, they'll never see. You know, they'll never see. They'll never. It just hurts to know that, you know. And I know somewhere in heaven they're looking down on me on it. And I think the one thing that I always thought that my grandmother said when she said, "I just want someone to love you as much as I do." And I remember when I first realized that Angel was in love with me. And when I really knew it, and I got on my knees and I told my grandmother, it's happened. You know, don't worry anymore. Sorry. But I want her, you know, wanted her to know that she didn't have to worry about me, because that was her biggest worry, that I would go through life without someone loving me as much as she did. And even though there's no way he could love me as much as her, I'm sorry, but but I know that he does, and it makes me feel good that she can look down and feel okay with that. You know, because that's something that really was something that she wanted to happen to me. And I really just love her so much, and I want her to know that, you know, she has nothing to worry about, you know. I'm loved, very much so. And plus the fact I have other people who I have not even looked at in real life who love me. I can't, you know, when I think about, you know, the people that truly, I honestly feel that truly care about me, that I just met on a virtual game, it amazes me just how blessed I am to have so many of you that just really genuinely care about me, you know, and really just, you know, I know keep me in your thoughts and your prayers. It really, really does. But here I go, you know, I've told myself I was not going to cry during the show. I'm like, it's going, was going to be happy. I was going to tell a couple of stories about my grandmother and my mom, and it was going to be a happy time. And it's almost 30 minutes over, and here I am crying, you know. I'm just getting too sentimental and too, you know, just too big of a crybaby. I just honestly need to just curb that shit. I do need to curb that. But I'm, you know, I'm really blessed that I have, you know, someone that loves me as much as, you know, she wanted me to. The thing is that what's so funny is that my grandmother, let me tell you, God, I hope I got time to tell you this story. She, I remember one time when we had went, and it's, if you knew my grandmother's character, this would, like, funny. Anybody should be like, oh, well, you know, no big deal. But I remember one time when my grandmother, we went to Hardee's when we were in Mississippi when I was visiting her for the summer. And she ordered burgers for me, Ida, and my brother. She ordered some burgers. And the girl said, okay, thank you. Do you want fries with that? And she stopped for a second and she said, did I ask for fries? Now, the thing is, that if you knew my grandmother, that was so out of character for her, because she's the type of person that she's like such a sweetie, you know, with a little halo, that type of person. And for her to say that, me and my sister just died, because it was like, wow, for real? For real? You were really going to say that? But we were like, it was funny. It was really funny. And I know everybody's like, what? That's not funny. But trust me, if you knew my grandmother and her demeanor, that is a funny one. It really, really is funny. I promise I'm going to start doing more shows. I keep saying it, I know. And I've got a call saying restricted. You know what? I've only got 2 minutes, but let's see. Hello, you're on the air with Sugarlicious Me. Happy Mother's Day.
Well, happy Mother's Day to you, too.
I should have known it was you. I said, when I saw restricted, I'm like, yeah, it's probably him. It's probably the angel. Ladies and gentlemen,
yep.
my other half, I'm the better half, my other half, the husband. Hello, darling.
Hello,
you
baby.
Saw me you heard me boo-hooing like a big baby?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. I only got 90 seconds. You should have called in earlier, but then you would have interrupted my show.
Yeah,
I was just telling everybody that I'm going to start doing shows again, and I'm going to start being more visible when it comes to my shows. I do promise that. You want to say anything to everybody before? Because it's going to cut us off in a couple of seconds.
Happy Mother's Day to everybody. Don't just take one day to tell your mom or your loved ones, you know. Do it every day. I appreciate life. I appreciate that person that you see every day that loves you.
That's true. That was sweet of you. Aw. You must have just ate some ice cream and cookies to be that sweet.
I sure did, baby. Chocolate chip.
Wow. Okay, don't get me hungry. Everybody, have a happy Mother's Day. Mwah. Love you. Sugar kisses.
Angel kisses.
No, there is no angel kiss. This is my freaking show.
Angel
Ain't no
kisses.
Damn angel kisses. No angel kisses. Sugar kisses.
Sugar kisses.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Sunshine, she's here. You can take a break. I'm a hot air I don't care, baby, by the way.